It's time to sit back, relax, and listen to Conversations with Joan. Conversations with Joan will inspire, motivate, and empower you. Live your best life now. Listen, learn, think, and decide. And now, here's your host, Joan Herman.
Welcome to Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life's Conversations with Joan. I'm Joan Herman. Thanks for tuning in. Conversations with Joan focuses on topics that are important to your life, from health and wellness to professional development to personal well-being. Changemakers join me to share their insights, tips, and strategies so you can thrive and live your best life now. Thank you for taking time for yourself, and thank you for letting us be a part of your life. Now, let's start talking. What if you could free yourself from anxiety, depression, or pain? What if you could feel whole again? Today's guest, Bob Gardner, contends that there's a way to retrain your body and mind to produce happiness, peace, and total well-being on autopilot. He joins us today to talk about why we're built for freedom and how we can achieve it. Bob is the founder of The Freedom Specialist, a body-based approach to happiness, health, and well-being. He's the author of the book Built for Freedom and host of the podcast Alive and Free. Welcome, Bob. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Joan. This should be a fun conversation, I'm sure.
Bob, you're known as the Freedom Specialist. What did you experience in life that led you to do this type of work?
So the title came from the fact that I had messed up everything in my life, and I was seeking for freedom on my own. The work I was doing before, I was running a martial arts school, a kung fu school down in Tempe, Arizona. I had been training in martial arts a long time after not having a job from graduate school because I got a degree in painting and drawing. So basically, I was just kind of eking by like any other individual was. But in the background, I had been struggling with addictive behaviors and patterns for a long time. We're talking massive indulgence in pornographic material and sexual types of experiences, and then eventually got into some different types of drugs. And I was really struggling with that on the inside. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I was going through these bipolar mood swings left and right. And my wife, bless her heart, was holding on for dear life until she couldn't hold on anymore. We had four children at the time. And one day she just was like, I can't. I'm done. I think I'm going to leave. And I, at that point in time, was just on the outside, charismatic, you know, leading things, but on the inside, just a massive minefield of depression and like barely holding on to any sense of self-worth. And so when she said that, I had this sort of come to Jesus moment of realization that like I was already struggling and now I was going to have to struggle alone unless I turned some things around. So I sort of did what I could to willpower my way through some things for the next little while. I had already been going to 12-step programs. I'd already like tried all these different things, been chasing around the planet, looking at seminars and trying to understand things from the inside. And while I'd learned a lot, nothing else was kind of was really working. And so through a series of events that happened in short order after that, I kind of came to this realization that if I didn't figure something out, then no matter how well-intentioned the people were that were trying to help me, nothing was going to work. So I needed to find out what was really going on under the surface. So I just kind of threw aside all of the conventional wisdom about addiction, about depression, about trauma, about all of this stuff. And I was like, what works? Let me find what works. I went back to my martial arts roots. I went through breathwork training. I trained in a bunch of body work things. Everything else that was going on, I challenged every definition out there until I sort of arrived at some understanding that what was really going on was deeply rooted in my own biology, and that was something that I could actually have power over. And so when I was naming the company, at first I named it something different, and then women, it was called Liberate a Man, because I was the man and I needed to be liberated. And then women started asking if this was only for guys. And I was like, no, this stuff that I'm teaching people, since it worked for me, it's just for everybody. It's just about how your body works. And so I came to the Freedom Specialist because everybody's an addiction specialist who's been an addict. They know exactly what it's like, but I wanted to specialize in freedom and I wanted my focus there.
You just mentioned the biology of a person. How does biology play into achieving freedom?
So At first, I started with this notion of biology as inheritance, right? Oh, okay, what's the root issue? It's a fairly common phrase that was around at the time. It's still bandied about as like find the root issue, solve the root issue. And I thought it had to be it was either genetic, I inherited it, or it was like some limiting belief that was in there. And while those do play some role, as I continued to look at it and look at what genes were and everything else, it turns out that everything is highly variable, that your inheritance doesn't really dictate what needs to be or will be expressed. It may dictate the color of your skin or your sensitivity to sunlight, but that doesn't mean it'll make you constantly get sunburned. That requires behavior, that requires attitude toward the sun and everything else. And so I started looking at it and I was like, well, what in terms of biology is going on when I say that I'm dealing with an addiction? What am I talking about? When I say I'm feeling like an urge or a draw or a temptation or a trigger, what am I talking about? How do I know that I'm experiencing those things? And so, as I had to get answers to those questions for myself first, and then as people would came for help later, I would ask them the questions, and the answers start to become very, very, very similar. They feel some negative emotion or they feel some strong pull. And I would say, well, where, what do you mean you feel it? How do you feel it? How do you know you're feeling that? They would say, I feel this sensation here in my body, or this clenching of my fist, or this tightness in my neck, or this darting around in my eyes. Or if they're feeling anxiety, I feel this pit in my stomach, or I feel this shortness of breath, or I feel this agitation in my head. It always boiled down to a sensation in the body that they were feeling. And with me, it boiled down to similar things. And so I was looking at it going, well, what would happen if I just learned to tackle the sensation itself and stopped getting stuck in the psychological interpretation of that sensation? What would happen if I feel a tightness in my chest? At first, maybe I notice it because I'm feeling this depression and I notice I'm feeling low energy and I'm just sitting there and I feel sadness and I feel tears in my eyes or something. But then as I start to go, oh yeah, my breathing is really shallow. Well, what happens if I change my breathing? So I would change my breathing. And it took energy, especially with depression, you know, there's low energy anyway. So it takes a little bit of willpower to do some of this. But as I change my breathing, like within a couple seconds to a minute or something, all of a sudden I feel a little bit more energy. And then as I change my posture, I would notice I would feel something different. And then as I changed a few other things, I would notice some, and pretty soon I was no longer feeling depressed. What used to last for weeks was now over within a few minutes. Did it come back? Of course it did, because I had built a habit of responding to life events with a depression response. Like it was unconscious. It was not me waking up in the morning deciding I was going to be depressed. It was like I just woke up and that was the response to life that I had built over time because of tension in my body, because of what had built up over years. And I had to retrain that. But it was surprising to me how quickly it started to get retrained once I just started catching myself in the moment, going, oh, wow, I feel this way. And then starting to adjust how my body was reacting. Pretty soon it started happening on its own to where I would notice something and then sometime later go, wait a second, I didn't respond to that the way I used to respond to that. That's how I knew it was working. It was effortless. It wasn't willpower anymore.
So you were breaking the cycle.
Yeah.
When you were saying that there's a sensation in the body, so someone, let's say, who's an overeater, when you start to get that urge to, I think I'm going to go to the refrigerator and have some chips, and you feel that sensation in the body, what would be the first thing you would recommend that person do to make that shift?
So first thing that I recommend, this whole process, well, part of like this part of the process is something I describe as emotional ninjutsu, partly because I'm a little bit of a nerd, grew up with the Ninja Turtles, and I ran a kung fu school, but it boils down to an acronym, ABLE. Okay, so if you can do this, you will be able to handle your stuff. So A, the first part is to acknowledge it. And in this case, the simple direct thing that I did for myself and that I have other people do isn't to narrate what's happening. Wow, I feel an urge to go to the fridge to eat more stuff. Awesome. Holy cow, that came out of nowhere. Wow. And I don't feel it everywhere. My left butt cheek isn't currently having an urge to gnaw on potato chips or something. Well, I feel this urge here. And so I would have them locate it in the body, locate where it isn't so that they can see that it's not all of them that's engaged in this. It's just a part of them. And start to talk themselves through it because you start to narrate it. You're kind of halfway in, halfway out. You're no longer just a victim to the urge. You are watching it happen, and maybe you can't control it that time, but you're starting to train yourself to no longer just be a passenger and without having any say about where the car goes.
When you talk about freedom, what does freedom mean to you?
That's a great question, Joan. Mm-hmm. It's evolved. At first, freedom meant I am not stuck in addictive behaviors. I am not feeling the urge. I'm not having pornographic imagery running through my head every second. I'm not having these moments of heart pounding, like temptation to go do something, or I'm not having cravings to go take another drug or have another hit of something. You know, at first it was the absence of the thing that was causing my life pain. And I think that a lot of people describe freedom this way. They describe, if you look at all of the philosophers of the past, the vast majority of them describe happiness this way, the absence of suffering, the absence of mental disturbance, the absence of, and that worked for a little bit. But as I have over time continued to look at this thing, I realized that I needed a more positive definition of freedom and happiness than the absence of suffering. What started to happen along the way was at first, yeah, I was controlling behaviors. And then it was, oh, wow, I'm not reacting and I'm able to react differently. So then freedom was I'm able to react differently. It was freedom from a behavior, but it was also freedom to start doing something different. Then I started recognizing that when my body was in a certain state, then I was no longer subject to all of these whims of emotion. I wasn't reactive to things that would happen with my children or my wife, or if there was, you know, we went through bankruptcy at one point and I wasn't really emotionally struggling with things because it was just something happening and I had to deal with it anyway. I might as well deal with it with joy rather than pain. And so I started to realize that for me, freedom and happiness, these terms that we kind of toss around, they boil down to the presence of a kind of, I almost describe it as like, when you know when you open a soda can and there's that little fizz that kind of comes through, the sort of bubbly, it's almost like that in the background that started to happen for me fairly consistently, so that no matter what's happening on the outside, whether I have to be stern with my children or whether I can be telling a joke or leading somebody through something that's really heavy or whatever else it is, in the background is this feeling inside of my body that is like a lubricant. And so it sort of makes me like Teflon. Stuff happens, but it doesn't stick. And it feels absolutely wonderful. And so that's what I try to teach people how to build, is just this, that your body is built to produce naturally a kind of state of being that heightens the immune system, that creates deeper interpersonal connections, that opens up creativity and intelligence, and that increases speed and power and stamina and all of the other things. The body seems to be built to run on the fuel of happiness and freedom, and it's designed to produce it naturally when we're not stuck in these other recurrent patterns that mm-hmm. are physical. In the end, they're physical in nature, just habits of reacting to the world that eventually end up in thought and emotion. But in the beginning, it's light hits the eyes, sound hits the ears, something happens, and there's some initial reactions, and then the whole mess starts. It's retraining that, but it creates a state on the inside that's really beautiful.
Is your approach designed to work with other programs or on its own?
I've had people do it both ways. You know, I obviously tested out a lot of things, and some of them were useful for a period of time, and they were until this sort of took hold for me. I've had a number of people come and this is the first thing they've ever tried. And it just resonates with them, this understanding that their stories, as much as they seem like the thing to look at, because it seems intuitive, you know, your mind, if the problem's in your mind, your thoughts are running, you have the obsessive compulsive thoughts or actions or behaviors or something else, then it seems intuitive to go address it there. But you know, once they start to understand that the mind is a reaction, like your mental processes are a reaction to what's happening in the body, then naturally they come. But I've had people continue in 12-step programs for a period of time until they've really found what they were looking for. I've had people continue with therapy over time because they appreciate having somebody to talk through their issues with. So I don't think it's prohibitive of other approaches. The only thing that I think is at odds with other approaches is that I'm telling them, this whole process can be done with and over with as quick, like the aim is as quickly as possible, but relatively quickly so that you can move on with your life and no longer sit there and have to talk about all of these woes because you've trained your body not to have woe, so to speak, in mm-hmm. this way.
I like when you say that freedom is a skill, not a pill.
Yeah. I mean, I like to describe it as like a muscle memory in the end. Because a lot of people think of like, oh man, if I have to do this work, it sounds like a lot of work. And that's why they want to do the pill thing. But if you break it down, how long did it take a person to learn to walk? A couple weeks when they were really trying, a couple weeks to learn to ride a bike. Each new skill that you learn, some take longer, some take less time, but you'd be surprised how quickly the body learns. And in the beginning, when if you watch children learning to walk, they're on their hands and knees, they're getting around just fine, and sometimes they're getting around faster than parents want them to, even when they're crawling. They get up to walk. Now all of a sudden they're slower. It's unstable. They fall down, and they fall down a few times, and they just want to go back to crawling because it's more efficient. Same with people coming out of addiction, depression, or anything else. It's more efficient for them to handle life the way they have been doing it because they haven't yet learned the new skill. They're still unsteady on this other one, and it feels like they're failing in a lot of work and whatnot. But somewhere along the line, the toddler gets the knack, and they take those first few unstable steps, and they realize, wait a second, this could be something good. Then they pick it up, and now they're zooming around the house faster than before. They're not wearing holes in their pants. They can reach things they couldn't reach before. They can see things they couldn't see before. And a whole new world opens up. And the same thing happens with this type of skill of freedom. Yes, it takes a little bit of time to get the knack, but then what is possible for you is beyond what you could have imagined at the level that you were operating at when you were on your hands and knees. You can see things you couldn't see before. You can think things you couldn't think before. You can do things. And now riding a bike becomes a possibility because you've gained the knack of balance. And then after that, driving a car becomes a possibility. And if you're into helicopters, maybe that. And swimming and all of these other things start to become more and more possible because you've started to build on these skills. And with a pill, the problem is opposite. You're in this place, you take a pill. And by a pill, I don't just mean a pharmaceutical, I mean anything that attempts to fix you from the outside. And when you do that, you pay the cost of it. It doesn't require as much effort of it, other than you have to go buy the thing, but and you have to go do the thing. But you have to pay that cost forever because it doesn't actually solve the habit on the inside. If you really consider it, depression is a certain state that the body is in, and it's chemical and it's mechanical, and you can learn to manage it from the inside, or you can learn to manage it from the outside. A pill, a pharmaceutical, those are just ways of managing your state by a substance from the outside, but you can produce that same chemistry on the inside. So you're still doing the same thing. The question is, which one do you want to do? And I would just vote for personally the skill side, just because it's work, but then it's work that lasts with you forever, and it opens up a whole new world in sort of Aladdin style, as opposed to the work that's needed, which may be less work to take a pill or have someone come validate you or comfort you or do something to tell you it's okay, you can feel this way. And so to soothe you, and I don't think it's bad. Sometimes I definitely wanted soothing, but it didn't solve the initial problem in the beginning, which was the habit of reacting to the world around me. That's it. That's the only issue. Change that habit. You got all kinds of possibilities.
The book is Built for Freedom. If you would like to learn more about Bob and his work, you can visit thefreedomspecialist.com. Bob, in about 30 seconds or less, what's a takeaway? What would you like to leave our listeners with?
There's nothing wrong with you, never has been. If you have all of these feelings or behaviors or stuff going on, it means that your body and mind are operating the way they're supposed to. They're taking orders from their past habits in order to help you survive. You just got to teach them a new trick.
Bob, thank you so much for being here.
No, my pleasure. It's been fun.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you found the show informative. At Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life, we believe that knowledge is power. Take what you've learned, apply it, and live your best life now. Remember that the information provided is the opinion of our guest and should never replace the advice of a professional who knows your personal situation. If you'd like more information, visit our website, CYACYL.com. That stands for Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. While on our site, listen to past shows on demand, read the digital magazine, sign up for our mailing list, and be sure to follow the show on social media. Until next time, this is Joan Herman. Thanks for tuning in.